If you have been listening to my show and taking my advice and understanding cost-controlled meta media buying, I am going to help you take this strategy to another level with ads that perform crucially $0 in additional cost to you. You will not be required with the strategy that I'm going to lay out today to do anything else besides what you are already doing, except for build a few ads in meta ads. It is my favorite recent strategy that I've sort of stumbled upon for my clients. It is working great for me, costing very little money, all upside, no cost. That's the best possible thing in marketing. Hang in today. I'm going to show you a meta ad strategy that costs you nothing that can produce real value for your brand. Let's jump in. All right. Well, welcome to another episode of the Andrew Ferris Podcast. Thanks again for joining me. I want to tell you something highly tactical today. I think this will be a shorter episode. We'll see. I always say that, but then I get talking and I get excited. But this is a strategy that's really been helpful to me recently. Like I said, the basic idea here is that there is a ad strategy for your meta ads account that will cost you zero extra dollars in terms of ad production and even in like ad testing, if you do things the way that I do it, and yet has massive upside for your brand, especially depending on how you do it. And let me just lay out what the strategy is, and then I'll tell you why I think this is so valuable. Okay. Strategy is this: take the organic content you're already making, particularly for Instagram, take those posts and run those posts as ads in your ad account. So what I'm saying here is go into Meta Ads Manager. You have an option to do create ad or use existing post. What I'm saying is go through your organic content and click use existing post and find old Instagram posts and reels that you have created in the past and just launch them as ads in your ad account and see what happens. See if there's any value there. Now, this in one sense sounds incredibly simple, but I will tell you that I myself was not, it sounds obvious, but I myself have not been doing this for many clients for a while because I've always had it in my mind that the organic content you create for your Instagram is different than content that sells products. And while there's overlap there, because part of what helps sell products on the internet with paid social is content that's engaging, you know, it often your organic content doesn't have a CTA, it's not as product focused, because on your organic channels, when you're running stuff that's super product focused or that sells product sort of more directly, what happens? Nobody looks at it. Like the algorithm doesn't do anything with it. It's not particularly engaging. And it's just not typically what works for organic reach. Okay. But so you create content organically that isn't optimized for paid, and you create paid content that isn't optimized for organic reach, because now I don't need the organic reach in my paid account. I'm going to handle the reach part by paying for it, right? So there are these two different approaches, if that makes sense, to sort of creating content for organic and paid. And in my mind, that's kind of always how it's been, that the two channels, while technically running on the same, in the same places, Facebook and Instagram feeds, stories, reels, whatever, they're very different kinds of content and they don't have much overlap. But it occurred to me at some point, I think it might've been when I was recording my episode about creating operational process around scaling your meta ads account. It occurred to me as I was doing that, wait a minute, why don't I just take posts that I'm making and launch them in the ad account? Because there's really no cost to it. And this is like a crucial principle for running ads, especially when you're running cost controls. And actually, that's a really important point here. I'm assuming in this conversation and in this piece of advice that you are running ads that are cost controlled. For me, it's with bid caps. I know other people run cost caps, sometimes minimum ROAS. But either way, cost controls. And the reason that's really important is because it solves this problem of, if you're going to take all of your existing organic content and launch it in your ad account, well, it doesn't cost you any additional dollars to make that content. You've already made it for organic social, right? But it may cost you additional dollars to test it to see if it works. Unless you take my advice and you don't actually create testing campaigns or anything like that. If you just launch every ad into a bid capped or cost capped or minimum ROAS campaign or ad set, then what you know in doing that is that those bid caps or cost caps, those cost controls will suppress ads that are not going to work. It just won't spend on them, or at least a meaningful amount of money. If it spends on them, it will typically be very, very little. I also have linked in this episode, and I'm just writing a note to myself even as I'm saying it, to make sure to link this. I have also linked my episode about my exact creative testing strategy, which lays out how I think about this. Basically, the logic for not creating separate creative testing campaigns with auto bids or anything like that, but launching your ads into manual bid, cost-controlled campaigns, and that way you get this effect where you can launch creative, suppressing stuff that's not going to work and spending stuff that is going to work, okay? So that's the context here. It's really important that you're doing that. If you're doing that, now you've got two things, okay? You've got a bunch of organic social content that you've already created, so it's costing you $0 in additional creative production or in time cost, right, as well, and almost $0 in ad testing costs. So if these existing posts are not going to perform as ads, it just won't spend if you launch it in cost controls. And that means you have zero downside, all upside. So let's say your hit rate on an ad like this is 1%. One out of 100 of these ads works, right? Well, the only cost at that point to getting that one ad that works in your ad account is the time it takes to build the ad, which does not take very long. So that means that you have the scenario where you have almost no cost and lots of upside because you actually will get a better than 1% hit rate on those ads. In my experience, you'll actually do very well. So now you have, like I said, I've repeated this a couple times now, but it's really important to get this in your head as to why this strategy works. Very low cost, very high upside. Very low cost, very high upside. And that's the key. Now, a lot of people forget this when they're running ads. They'll do this thing, and I've watched this happen with clients and team members and all this stuff, where they go, that ad's not going to work. Like, come on, that strategy can't work. Don't do that. It's not even optimized for it. It doesn't even have a CTA. Why are you doing that? Don't put it in the ad account. And my answer to that is always the same, which is like, well, why not? If it's not going to work, it won't run. You need to get into a habit of eliminating guessing whether or not your ads are going to work. As long as there's, that would only matter, right? Like if I had to go buy TV ads and I was going to run TV ads and I had to pre-book $20,000 worth of spend on TV ads or something like that, then in that case, you actually do need to do some work ahead of time to figure out if the ad's going to work. And you have to have some sense of like, okay, this is going to work or not. You have to test it in some way, or that is your test budget or whatever. And now you can only run so many tests. But that's not the scenario here. The scenario here is it's going to cost very little money. And therefore, you have to, once you start buying with cost controls and even doing your creative testing with cost controls, you can then get it into your mind that actually it's very, very unlikely that Meta's going to run your ads if they're not going to work. And this is something that really frustrates people about running cost controls, because they go like, oh, Meta didn't even give my ad a chance. It suppressed it before it even had a chance to run. And while it may be the case that occasionally Meta gets it wrong, first of all, I have tried this many times and it is so rare. I actually maybe have zero examples of a time where I needed to force some spend to an ad for Meta to realize that it was good, or force some spend to an ad for Meta to, for it to get some social proof, which would then, this is an argument people make. They say, oh, well, that ad doesn't perform yet because it doesn't have social proof. And if it doesn't have any social proof, it has no chance to really run. And like, occasionally I have heard people say this kind of thing. And so I've tried this, keep my bid caps artificially high on my test ads, or even launch an auto bid campaign. I did this for one client who said, hey, everybody says you're not giving your ads a real chance to run. And so make sure to put them in a testing campaign first so they get a chance to run, and then move your winners over. And, and so I said, okay, well, we're having some trouble in the ad account. So I said, sure, we can try it. I don't think it's going to work. We can try it. And the testing campaign got crushed. All of these ads that were not running in my main campaigns, the testing campaign got totally crushed, way underperformed the rest of the account, because Meta's algorithm was right. The machine learning was right. It was suppressing the losers and it was promoting the winners. And that is magical. The idea that that's a problem in Meta is crazy to me. It's crazy. Like, Meta is this magical machine that you can feed it creative, and it only spends your money if it works. How is that? That's the opposite of a problem for Meta. That is a massive feature of running Meta ads. It makes it so possible for you to efficiently scale ads while not wasting dollars. Because one of the worst ways to make money is to lose money, right? And one of the best ways to make money is to not lose money. And so by Meta doing that, it's just incredible. So occasionally, maybe it misses. Maybe it overspends on one ad and underspends on another. And yes, it's not like you can walk away and never even touch your ads or anything like that. You still have to watch and some of those things, right? But basically, that works. And by basically, I mean the vast, vast majority of the time. And I run all my ad accounts this way, and I can just tell you that's the case, okay? So to bring that all back, if that's the case, and you're sitting on these buckets, these mountains of organic content that you've never tried as ads, here's all I'm really telling you in this episode. Try them. Just try them. I have two clients recently for whom doing this worked incredibly well. I just took existing posts they'd already made for their organic content, launched them in their ad account. And these posts, like some of them are horizontal how-to videos. Like they couldn't, you know, they're very long, some of them. They don't have any CTA. They don't even clearly feature a product. They just are pretty good organic content that their customer is interested in that references their brand. And this, by the way, especially works if your brand has some brand equity already in the space, because then people are just interested in your content. And if you have brand equity already built up, you should absolutely be doing this, because at some point you don't even need to promote your product anymore. You just need to put your name in front of people and stay top of mind, and people will click just because they're interested. They already know who you are. They're interested, et cetera. That was definitely one of these clients where this worked especially well, but it's not the only one. Like, I have another client who doesn't have nearly the same level of brand equity. We tried the same strategy and it worked. It worked very, very well. We just took their brand content and launched it as existing posts. And again, some of this stuff, not really optimized at all for ads in the ways that I or anyone else would tell you to do that, right? Like, you go back and listen to my episode about long form explainer content that's really built for direct response advertising on paid social. And I'm really trying to think in terms of angle, hook, body, validate the offer, CTA, all of those things, right? This content is not like that at all. And yet it can still work really, really well, because sometimes it just works. How do you create margin in an e-commerce business? You do it by keeping low cost of delivery relative to your revenue, right? So high margin, like gross margin, product margin, low CAC, making sure that your ad spend is low relative to revenue, and low OPEX, low fixed costs, low SG&A, right? That fixed cost portion of your P&L, keeping that low relative to your revenue is, I think, one of the ways that you win in e-commerce, in D2C specifically. And that is part of why I love working with my friends at More Staffing. More Staffing is a staffing agency based in the Philippines that staffs D2C brands with incredible talent from the Philippines. Filipino employees who have deep levels of knowledge about e-commerce, long professional careers in e-commerce. You can pay them very good money for the Philippines and therefore attract excellent talent, high integrity people, great work ethic, great knowledge, and it will be less than you would pay for that same talent in the US. It is a win-win across the board. And on top of that, More Staffing makes the whole process of finding and onboarding that talent incredibly easy. I work with them in my own business. I've staffed up my agency with folks from More Staffing. They've become a great partner to me and great friends of mine in this business. They're good people doing great work. Go to morenow.co to staff your business with Filipino employees. I honestly don't know why, if you're running a D2C brand, you would not be considering working with talent from the Philippines in your business. They're so good. They will help you recruit, train, onboard, all those things. And they even give you a one-year guarantee. So if you hire somebody and they don't work out, there's really no risk to you. They will replace that person at no additional cost to you. They'll replace that person for free, go through the whole process again with no additional markup. So it is a great business, a great partner, and I really recommend that you go work with my friends at More Staffing by going to morenow.co. Tell them I sent you. Go to morenow.co today. Now, most of this content is not my very best performing content in the account. I'll tell you that. But it is spending meaningful money at or under my target. And that matters, right? Every little bit matters. And part of the beauty of running cost controls in your account, and part of the strategy, really, this is, you know, if you listen to the Kinship guys talk about their influencer seeding strategy, what they're not telling you is they don't typically say like, oh, you're going to get this, you know, the very best creative you'll ever run. What they're saying instead is it's a way to very cheaply produce content at massive scale and get it into the ad account. That's what they're going to say. And that is a way to sort of mass produce enough content that all performs enough that you get, you know, instead of the kind of ad account where it's sort of one super ad powering the whole account forward, it's like a whole bunch of ads all spending 5 to 10% of your budget, you know, maybe even mostly 4 to 3 to 5% of your budget. But you got so many of those ads that are performing just enough at some decent amount of scale that you can, that'll sort of push the whole thing forward. And that's what this existing post strategy does. And by the way, I'll go take existing posts from like your organic existing posts from like a year ago, like it's all there, and just keep going. Like, don't just take the stuff from the last week, but just like take a whole bunch of stuff you've already made, as long as that product is still in stock, and go just put it in the ad account and see what happens. cost control it relative to your margins, relative to your target, whatever, and see what happens. There's a couple other things here that are worth noting. The first is this fits into what I referenced earlier, which is the sort of operationalizing creative processes for a mature ad account. Okay. So like, I think you should go and make the long form explainer style content that I referenced in that episode from a couple of weeks ago. Again, I'll link that one as well. I'll go link that one as well. That way you have it and you can go, you know what I'm talking about, right? But this is the long form explainer style content where, you know, it takes a bunch of effort to get a really well-crafted scripted ad with B-roll, intercut, talking head style, all those things, you know, clear structure to the content, all the, like, to me, that ad type is something you should be investing in and it should work, okay? But in an episode, I also, again, will link in the show notes about the operational process needed to build this. Part of what I'm saying is a good ad account has that content, but also it has, like, I think I had 8 or 10 total creative buckets at that point. I think I have 10 now that I use for clients. And it's a mix of like still images with headlines, with, you know, sort of influencer creative mixed with existing posts, like I'm talking about, you know, in this episode right now, mixed with long form explainers. And you try to fill out all those. And so the existing post thing here is partly just a way to say, like, let's get everything we can into that ad account and push the whole thing forward by just sort of, by just mass volume of ads, right? Just volume just kind of works. At some point, you'll have something that does something decently and it'll work. So go and do that and build it into your process. What I do for my clients from an agency side is I have a weekly repeating task every Monday to go through all of my clients' Instagram accounts. And, you know, I have one client who has 2 Instagram accounts, a brand account plus a founder account, which is a good idea. Run some stuff in your founder account, just post it there and let your founder, you know, grab stuff from your founder account, link that up, basically white labeling, okay, separate things. I've had a couple clients do that, you know, create a separate Facebook and Instagram accounts for the founder that they can link to the ad account, use that for content. Great. Go ahead and try all that kind of stuff. Whatever. I go through all of those ads, I go through those Instagram accounts, and I just, if anything looks at all like it might possibly work, then I'll do it. Look, if they post something about a sale from 3 months ago or if there's something like that, don't rerun that, obviously, okay? Or if it's something that is like about a giveaway, not related to your products at all, like maybe you don't want to run that either. I don't know, maybe try it. Because again, there's so little risk. When in doubt, run it. But that's basically what I'm saying here is I have a weekly process where I do that. If you're an agency and you're serving clients, like this is a way for you to go generate a bunch more creative and separate yourself by just building a process where your ad buyer, your media buyer, for you as a media buyer, go through the organic accounts, launch those existing posts, just make sure that you know which URL you want to send them to. And it's very quick, easy work. And you can launch that stuff kind of constantly. And that's what I do, weekly task of doing that kind of thing. If you're on the brand side, go do this yourself already. Just go like create a thing where every time you launch a post, at the same time, jump into your ad account and launch it as an ad as well. Because why not do that? There's a couple other benefits though here. And so there's this process orientation plan around this. But secondly, this actually allows you to do something else that I think is really interesting. And I haven't actually gotten here with a client yet, but I'm pretty confident in this basic plan. I kind of have. One of my clients has basically done this. One of my clients over the last year really started investing in their organic content. They're a really good candidate for that. They have good organic content. They have good reason. Again, they have a lot of how-to type content. They've built a bunch of following online around their how-to content. And it's really helpful to their customer, that content. And so as they've invested in producing that kind of content, it has made it a lot easier. And this is one of the ones that's been successful with the strategy. For me to get extra value out of the content they're already producing and for the business to get extra value out of it by dropping it into the ad account and producing extra dollars from it. So that actually then creates an incentive for you to go invest in your organic content. And a lot of brands I know would like to take on a strategy like, maybe you listened to my episode, one of my most popular episodes ever with Isaac Medeiros from Mini Katana, talking about the billions of views he's getting on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram for his content. And he's got this massive machine, you know, at the time, I bet it's even crazier now. He had 8 contracted script writers constantly producing 150 or less word scripts to produce short form content for his brand. Okay. Now for him, that was a constraint generates creativity thing. He couldn't advertise his products on Facebook because it was swords and you know, it was a weapon. And so you can't advertise weapons. So for him, he had to create his customer acquisition through organic content. And he got a $10 million in revenue with no ad spend because of doing this really, really well. But imagine, I mean, I salivate at the idea of taking that content that Isaac has built this machine for and just dropping it in the ad account. It would push it even further. And that would make him even more money. It would make all that, it would make the return on his organic investment even higher, and therefore would actually increase the case for generating organic content, because now every piece of organic content he puts the time and money in to produce actually has additional value in the ad account as well. And for a lot of brands who are sort of annoyed at their reliance on paid social, this to me becomes a good argument in favor of starting to really put serious time and effort into your organic social. Because now you can get the organic value out of it and maybe get some viral TikToks and viral Instagram reels or whatever. But on top, or even YouTube content, right? Again, some of this content that I've run for some of these brands is horizontal YouTube content. Like, but now, so you could take that, right? And you could actually go another step where you can take that content and run it in the ad account. And now there's increased ROI on those efforts because those are going to actually produce dollars in your ad account as well. And that's going to fund your ability to keep building your organic presence with great content and build a machine around that. I have at least one client right now where I'm planning on basically promoting this plan to them. You know, we're doing some kind of 2024 planning here at the beginning of the year. They're a big holiday brand. So really, they don't do the 2024 planning in December because they're really executing in December. And so now we're kind of looking at the rest of the year, running things kind of a little bit more, and not on the back burner, but it's a little simpler to run things right now in January. It's still doing well. But as we start to look at what are we going to invest in, I'm going to start to make the case for them. Hey, because we can do this with the existing post type content that we have, it's probably a good idea for us to start trying to invest more in our organic content and see about bringing on some creators who can create some organic social type content with your product and see if we can also take that and turn it into ad account. And maybe that can be another bucket where we can create some more value. So, and actually some brands, I'll say, this is a point Taylor Holiday made when I was talking to him about this strategy. Some brands actually already have a really good organic content muscle where they've got people creating organic content and they're pretty good at it. And for them, they look at things and they create this content, but then they don't ever do anything with it in the ad account. Because again, you know, they had the same opinion that I was mentioning at the beginning of this episode, which is, oh, it's different. Organic and paid are different. And so the content needs to be different, et cetera. So you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? If you already have the organic content muscle built, I mean, for you especially, any brand who's listening to this or any agency who has a brand who has built out a bunch of good organic content, go do it right now. There is like profitable ad spend to be had in a cost-controlled environment where you can go make a bunch more, create a bunch more value out of that content. You really can. It can really, really work. So go do it. So all I'm really saying, here's the very short version of this episode, okay? It's this. Launch your organic Instagram posts as ads. That's it. If you're running cost controls, that works. Can work really, really well. Again, maybe not the greatest ads you'll ever produce, but can produce meaningful spend, meaningful return for you, for your brand. Go do it. It's low cost. It's all upside. Go do it. All right, that is a classic Andrew Ferris thing where I probably could have done that whole thing in 3 minutes, but I stretched it into, you know, 20 or however long it was. I didn't really look. Sorry about that. Hopefully with some help. Hopefully drawing it out was some help to you as well. Hey, if it was some help to you, I'd be so grateful if you would rate, review, subscribe, do all those usual things. And even more than that, I'd actually really appreciate it if you'd share this episode with a friend. If you know somebody who is creating organic content and trying to make their ads work and they just can't get there, like, go and tell them about this episode so that they can hopefully get this idea. If they can run cost controls, they can launch existing posts. You know, you can get really, really far doing this. Don't forget to go check out my friends at More Staffing. If you're running an e-commerce business and you want help growing your business with incredibly talented folks who are going to do great work at a lower cost than it would be hiring those people in the US, go work with More Staffing to build out your e-commerce team at morenow.co. Love them. I work with them myself. They are a great partner to me. I've had many people now tell me they work with More Staffing because of my show, including a recent client I just brought on. Said already working with them. They're great. We love them. And it's just been awesome to see them continue to grow as you all, listeners, viewers of this show, have gone and worked with them. And I've really heard mostly only good stories. So I'm really, really excited about that. Go check them out. Morenow.co. Like I said, what's next on the show? I have a couple episodes coming up I'm excited about, as always, including my most popular episode ever now was with Cody Plofker from Jones Road Beauty a few months ago now. Cody's coming back. So in a couple weeks, Cody's going to come back. We're going to talk to him again. So make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on that episode. As always, thanks so much for listening, for watching all those things. I will see you next time. And I'll break it all. I know the script with my eyes closed.